Ron Justice came. He worked with Manette drums, and and he came over, and we did that. We did that CD. You know, all the groups that did that CD, mm-hmm. And then he got excited about it, and he went and told the professor over there at the CAC, and I met with him a couple times, and they were so excited about doing that. But then this one professor, he got another job, and he went someplace, and but they were all gung-ho. You know, they could all raise this money. You know, I mean, if everybody had a grant, you know, they could do with the people from the board. It was about 12 people around that table, you know, there are different departments and things. Mm-hmm. and then once we did it, it's like, you know, just, you know, you keep doing interviews, but it needs to be out there. And some reason it's not, because you know there's some kind of stigma, you know, and it goes back a long ways, even with the state road coming. I'm sure they could have found the road without taking down all these houses in Osage, mm-hmm. And I think it started right there. Okay, we got to get rid of Osage. What do you do? Come through, take all the houses away. That means everybody has to leave. Mm-hmm. And this was, I think, the start of it.
And when was that?
My dad died in 60, about 60, 66. They were starting that then in the early 60s. Well, about, yeah. Yeah, because they was taking them homes, because our home was, in the 60s it started.
So they took where your dad was?
Yeah, the home, you know, that's the other dude, not her, and that, and that, you know, that, and the dog is the middle partner of them, and you know, all the homes, and me and my brother, you know, is really a funny thing about. See, no one lived in our house we left after up there. Matter of fact, when our dad died, we went, you know, to the funeral home, and they had fixed food up there, you know, at our house, mm-hmm. and. People like around the community, me and my brother, we went up into the parking lot, and we never did go in the house. We turned around and went back to D.C. Mm-hmm. We never went in there. Mm-hmm. and then there was they were buying the houses, and ours were like $4,500. And of course, a lot of folks, they moved, you know, down here in different places, mm-hmm. but they offered us $4,500. And then we would think that wouldn't accept. We came back from D.C., about maybe 20 other families was here also. So the state road, we were supposed to meet with these folks, but they never showed up anyway. So it was like, well, they know all these people come from all these different states, so they got to go back to work, you know. So they didn't bother with it. So we went back to D.C., and then they sent us a check for like $3,600, something like that. So they knocked off like $900. And so, you know, that was it. So 40 years go by when I came back here. 40 years from the time, that was in the 60s, when I came back in the '80s, but this didn't happen even until after that. They left like a little quarter of an acre up there on the side of the hill. Probably wouldn't have been worth hardly anything. But people was asking us, you know, about selling that property. They were going to do that would be the first big development they were going to do. They came and offered, you know, like $10,000 for that property, for that little land. So I made a deal with him, you know, my brother's in D.C. So I got the $1,000 check. Now, if they don't do anything for 6 months, they give you another $1,000 check. So Bob Martin up there, you know, here I'm thinking my brother wasn't going to kind of accept that. Bob said, man, cash that check, man. And I called my brother, you know. My brother needs that money so bad it wasn't funny, you know. So he got his $500, and then after another 6 months, went, then got another $1,000. We split that. And then needless to say now, we never paid no taxes or nothing on that for all those years. Mm-hmm. And but stayed on the books for all those years. So then that fell through. So now, you know, it still was back to our property, so they didn't they didn't finalize that. Then another, so they still did another project later, but another man up there, you know, asked about, you know, buying that piece of land up there. So we made a deal with him to sell the, you know, rest of that for the rest of that money. And so I looked at it, that $900 they beat us out of, you know, that was the interest, you know. So if you can get close to $10,000, a little less than that, to, for something that was up there for all the, you not paid not a nickel, yeah. You know, in tax, but it stayed on the books all those years. And we didn't live here or anything, so so we didn't, you know, but people would ask, you know, about, because I never went over there and looked at no deed or anything, and but we got that sold for that. So we did you know, make a little money off of it. But I think that's how it started, yeah. Of getting rid of Osage. And then you know, then we had a situation here where it was a lot of police officers here in Osage, mm-hmm. You know, and they were over there. I mean, they were there. They were just like, you didn't know who they were. And they had their own, they ran everything over there. You had a council, but the council didn't mean anything, you see. So so Stanley Solomon, before he passed, he owned a group, a lot of these buildings also. They owned a lot of buildings around this building here, mm-hmm. And several of the big store down there. He he had the big business in that grocery store and furniture, you know. So we started working on, you know, those cops, you know. So so his wife and two daughters and another guy who was a bad guy, mm-hmm. Who helped close the town and unclose the other place down there too. We started going to the meetings, you know, and but they had a situation where if we came over there, you know, he had like the phone would ring at exactly 7 o'clock. And the guy that was there at the meeting, he was one of them also, you know. Mm-hmm. And you could see when the phone would ring, he'd look over at us and he'd tell the guy, yeah, which means we're there. So he canceled the meeting for that night, you see. So we got a Freedom of Information Act, you know. They didn't know anything kind of about it. But, oh, boy, they was huffy and puffy, you know, when went over there. So needless to say, the state police came in and took that computer, and it was a whole big story about it, you know. That's how those cops left here. Mm-hmm. But it was really funny. One night, when they was there, you see, this guy, I guess he figured, well, we ain't going to talk no police business, you know, because, uh-huh. You know, he had everybody naming streets. You know, the whole county is supposed to be renaming streets. Mm-hmm. So, well, he put his foot up on the desk, you know. He's going to have an easy night tonight because all the council people, you know, they're naming seats. And are naming streets, you know. So they named this over the Clock Street up there where a man used to leave. And street over here, name from a person over there. And then one of the council people, Evelyn Brown, she said, Jimbo, how many police officers do we have? You know, and Jimbo said 5. And a lady that was the lady that takes care of all all the business, whatever the name of that mm-hmm. that person is, you know, she said 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. In a town of about a hundred people, uh-huh. You know. But see, many of them still may have not been there, but a lot of them, even some of them are still around here, you know, that went to school through, you know, the town of Osage. Mm-hmm. And then Jimbo, you know, he come to me and said, you know, Al, he said, he got two undercover, you know, here, you know, two undercover police officers here. Mm-hmm. and trying to do, you know, kind of explaining, you know, but the bottom line was, you know, it was a, you know, And see, the town, they wrote about $300,000 of the tickets and owed about $70,000 of fees that should have been sent in. So when the town was going to close, if you have a debt in your town, you can't close the town anyway. But they worked and it worked and when you're selling stuff off, you know, they sell an old auction, you know, they had the old, they call it like a Batman car. They had old green and black striped car, you know, I don't even think I ran half the time. And they auctioned everything over they could auction off. And I think you said they got about $16,000. And that's anybody that paid that much of anything just before, because the town of Osage was on it,
right?
You know, or something like that. But they did that, and then one dude went around and had the people vote to close the town, or the cops are coming back if you don't do that, you see. And that's what that story was about in the Golden Show magazine, you know. But he didn't do nothing right, see. They don't ever have to do anything right to close a town, you see, you know. And then right now, you know, and all through, we had folks, a guy was here the other day, him and he, you had to have a petition before you could even have a vote. And he didn't do that. Mm-hmm. And the lady, you know, the old documentation of, you know, she's asking, you know, you didn't have this, you didn't do that, you didn't do that. And then the town was closed down in 1995 around there, but 2006, it was still on the books. And I got a letter, you know, through a friend of mine who was in touch with the governor's office and all, and the counsel for the governor, you know, I had a list of all the towns in the state of West Virginia was incorporated, and a whole copy that thick, mm-hmm, of all the towns, and Osage, we had a ring around Osage, was one of them. Mm-hmm. And so, you see, you know, we did a lot of work in, you know, trying to make sure, you know, that you do things right. But they, when it comes to Osage, you never had to do anything right. Mm-hmm. But, you know, then when you're challenged on it, and I thought about that magazine, I said, you know, because we did a lot of work on it. We had people, you know, go here and go there. I mean, they was going checking everything out. Mm-hmm. And one young man used to come to my house, come to the apartment, and I'd run things down to him, you know, And, and then there was a big article in the paper that he was talking about all these things, and he just, you know, left me. It's almost verbatim of what I told him, you know. And I think you're looking at it, I said, no, that boy's not that smart, you know. So later then he came and told me, he said, look, they told me over there, don't even go near you.
Wow.
You know, don't even go near you. So, you know, but the bottom line is, you see, everybody was working, you know, to challenge, check all these things out. And when you check them all out, say they're all bogus. It's all in that, everything, all that's in that magazine as well. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you do things and you do things wrong. And, you know, and you just, you know, you got to stand up. Because sometimes, you know, a lot of folks would be worried, like I should probably worry sometime about, you know, my well-being, you know. But, you know, you get of the age that, you know, that I am, and I'm a long ways from about 15 years old or 15 or 16 when the principal over at the school that we were at, you know, same thing happened down at the gym. Now, his principal kind of, you know, gave me a backhand, you know, or whatever. And then he called me and my brother to the office, you know, and you know, and he told us, you know, we would not live to see 21.
Wow.
You know, and he even showed us a gun in that desk he had, you know. But see, it was a tough place over there.
Yeah.
You know, because you had some bad, I mean, you know, I wasn't one of the, but see, because you had people come from all different areas to that school. Mm-hmm. See, when you went to school here, it was everybody from Scott's Run.
Yeah.
But you went to Monongalia High, you know, you went with people from all different different areas. Yeah. But you know, and it worried me too for, you know, those years. And I went a lot of places, you know, like going to the steel mill and, you know, being a year, you know, there, you know, on your own. And, you know, and then, you know, going to the service for those, you know, a couple of years. But then me and my brother kind of laugh about it now. See, we call each other religiously. We may not talk until May and June. You know, He'll call me about 7:30 on my birthday. Uh-huh. In June, I'll call him about 7:30 on his birthday. Uh-huh. We know those because one time I didn't call him. Somehow his number was, I kind of got mixed up or something, and I didn't call him. And my mother called and said, "What's wrong with you and Lewis?" You know, I said, "Nothing wrong." He said, "You didn't call him, one, you know." And that stuck with me forever. We'll never miss calling each other, you know. And we, even our kids, you know, his kids don't even know, you know, no, my kids. And we always talk about, because I met everybody in all these reunions, I'm seeing that and things like that. But we've never had we always talk about it. And he's 2 years older than me, and we talk about how blessed we are, you know, to be, you know, in pretty good shape at our ages, and all of our kids are in, you know, pretty healthy and all, and so, you know, that's the blessing that you can have, that, you know, that your kids are doing good, and you know, and you're, and.
What year were you born? What's your birthday?
May the 5th, 1937. And he was born June the 14th. So he's born in 1935. So, yeah, which he'll be 84 this year, and I'll be 82 this year. Mm-hmm. And so we kind of laugh about, you know, that principal's telling us we would make it to 21, you know. Wow. So, but life has been good, and, you know, and you know, and this place here, which, you know, when you talk about the museum, you know, but we could do more, you see. You know, see, when I come back here.
That's good. You always could.
Yeah, you know, and sometimes, you know, we still have a lot of folks, you know, have these animosities towards one and another. We would be even a stronger town if all these animosities. See, I'm gone for 20 years. See, I come back. I love everybody, you know, but it's not that way with everybody, you know. I mean, even down within the museum area, you know, there are different situations where, you know, that, I'm a hanger there, you know. So, you know, if you're blessed to bless, then that's the good part. And I know that I send many, many people down there to that museum, like, all the time. Even people come here. You know, I send them there. I said, well, like that new couple just came there, you know, they came up here, and I told them they had to go there, you know, and they were so, you know, now they're regulars, you know. But it's just, you know, how you want to treat people and how people treat you, you know, that is the blessing, you know. And, you know, I'll tell you another blessing, see. Now, you've been blessed in here today to not have a customer come in here.
Yeah, right.
You know, we had two people come in here, one for a broom and one for a phone.
Yeah.
You know, but
took up the
right, yeah. And nobody else has been in here, you know, which is unusual, you know, because people are pulling in here all the time, you know, about this, that, or the other, you know, and especially on Friday.
Yeah, right.
See,
yeah.
If people are going to pick up stuff, usually it's on
Friday.
On Friday, you know. But
well,
it's been a good, you know.
This is a nice talk.
You know.
Well, let me put this away, and I'll take a few photos.
Okay, yeah. And I'm going to go and